Okay, November 17th.
McCreary called and said that he didn't make it today, so we're going to do the best we can without him. And I guess we can start off with the Treasury report and get that out of the way.
Well, good morning. I'm glad you could all show up. We had a pretty successful fly-in, I think, even though we didn't have a whole lot of planes show up. Our fly-in grossed $354. Our expenses came to $293.42. So we had a profit margin of $60.58. Thanks entirely to Dennis for donating all of his ink and time and posters. That would have probably ate up our profit. We have, of course, three life members, and we have right now nine that have paid their dues. Four more need to renew, and they probably know who they are. I hope they show up. And then, of course, we have three life members. So if everybody comes forward, and I know Walt probably won't be able to. Walt, he won't be coming back, will he, this year?
Walt will not be. And
neither will Dan. Well, that would give us 15 if you, unless I had missed somebody. Starting with our treasurer's report, bank statement and all, the 20th of October we had balance in the account, $805.44. That day, no, 22nd October, a paid fly-in EAA flyer postage were sent out to every EAA member locally and within the three states surrounding about, was $14.76. On the 24th of October, I deposited seven members' dues, $350. And on the 1st of November, I went and paid Conway Fresh Feeds for the Boston Butt $109.88. The 9th of November, I deposited money from the fly-in, which was $354. On the 9th of November, also deposited two members' dues of $100. And the sale of Jack's book, which was a dollar. 9th of November, paid Ori Electric. Bill was $22.75. And the 12th of November, I paid Russell Edwards for his contribution of sauce barbecue. His mixins came to $30.31. And that leaves us here on the 17th of November, a balance on deposit of $1,432.74. In petty cash, on the 20th of October, we had cash on hand, $97.42. And the meat and donuts that day were $10.64. They'd gone up 10 cents. The 20th, at the meeting, the kitty produced $90, and on the 30th of October, November fly-in drinks and fixins at Sam's, I paid $129.08 because they wouldn't accept our check, so I was lucky I had that much in petty cash. The 31st of October, we picked up gas for the chapter's mower, was $20, plus I had donated about 6 gallons of gas that day that I didn't worry about. I had it. 3rd of November, ice down at Sugar Bears, 6 bags, came to $9.39. And the 13th of November, I picked up some stamps, 10 each, came to $4.10. 17th of November, today, we have cash on hand, a big whopping $14.21, and 7 U.S. postal stamps, 41 cents each, which is $2.87. Thank you. Hope you accept this report.
Yes, I move we accept it.
Second and sixth. All right. You accept them as they are, and everybody has a copy of this. So I think most of our old business has been kind of closed out. Is there anything that we have started that hasn't been completed now?
The only thing, I keep leaving the breakfast lying in on there just as a reminder. You know, it's not really open per se, but I always leave it on there.
It's always good to talk about it a little bit, though, so do it
yeah.
We're going to continue to do it again next year. The Lumberton deal, get somebody maybe to volunteer to go up and sell hot dogs, or do as me and Dwayne did, kill away myself. We didn't make a lot of money. We made a lot of friends up there. So that'll be coming up, and hopefully somebody can volunteer to do that again this year. I hope to have an airplane up there next year.
Get that.
To that?
Yeah, mine too.
All right, well, then we can get together and volunteer to cook hot dogs.
Buzz around the field, ain't
it? Well, fly off the hot dog, I'll fly you so hot.
That won't matter the airplane.
Okay, how about any new business?
I got some.
What's
up? I got the letter, the dreaded letter that we get every year, Falcon Insurance Agency, and it's time
now,
for...
What was their message?
For what?
What was their message?
Well, this is the insurance renewal.
I know, but it goes
No, it, well, what was it, what did we pay in last year? Do we remember?
600.
Yeah, well, it really didn't go up. It's 628. I think it did go up $6. And it might have went up a little bit different. I don't know the exact, but I do notice that on here they have now included $6 for terrorism risk insurance. Okay? So we all got to jump on that bandwagon, you know. Okay? So, but that's not Falcon. You know, everybody knows Falcon is not an insurance company.
Well,
like you think they are, they're not. Okay, they're a broker. They go to insurance companies and buy insurance for you. Our insurance company that they're suggesting we go to is called Granite State Insurance Company. Of course, we pay Falcon, and Falcon, I'm sure, takes their percentage out and gives it to them. But anyhow, we have 30 days from last week that I received this. To pay them, so I suggest that let me pass this around and everybody take a peek at it, and that we come to a vote, because we can't sit on this because it says 30 days, and we had such a problem last year. We don't want to sit on it too long, you know. So you can help you don't mind.
Past experience says there could be a slam dunk because you're not going to get another carrier.
Oh, we got it. Yeah.
It was 622 last year.
And we're stuck with the least demand being
paid. Well, that means that it did not go up this year again, except for that $6 of terrorism insurance. Except for the $10 or $6, so that's not bad. They kept it the same. So
have we heard from the EAA?
Sorry, as
well. First of all, if they usually about this time advise us of what their policy is going to be, and that's due and payable by 1 January.
Well, actually, I got a letter from them. I believe it was in the last week that said no, it was the middle of this week that said that their renewal was late. You know, they send you the, I think that's what you're inferring because it's all tied together. And it was late, and it was, they're going to send it out in December, and we had until the 15th of January. So.
But over history has a time that the EAA insurance portion has gone up 10% a year for the last 2 years on their insurance premium.
Yeah. Well. Anyhow, that don't seem to be too bad right there. I mean, the fact they held it, basically they held it to 0% increase as far as the insurance goes. I need a little bit of
Any other new businesses anybody?
We don't get our tax bill for this building just yet.
That would probably go to Gary, and Gary's not here, so.
No, I've got it.
You got it?
Okay. We've got plenty of money in the treasury to cover it. I could tell you here in just a second what you're looking at. You're looking at around $950 or $960 plus this. Which this is $167.65 for taxes.
Well, that's probably an increase, right?
Prior year, it's gone up less than $7.
Oh, not too bad for Horry County.
No. And I was going to make them wait for their money.
Seems a little hard.
Finally squander it.
January
14th. That's what I'll do.
Kind of hard to. You and Bell on a building like this. You can't get home to exemption or anything like that.
I think Gilden valued at $35,000. They're probably doing good at that price.
Yeah.
My experience is if you complain to the tax authority, they'll come out and raise it. You know?
Yeah.
So just, you have just to shut up.
Leave it alone. Any more new business or?
Well, I do have these I'll pass out to everybody. This John Matthews is having his barbecue again this year.
A little bit of a difference, in that if you fly or bring or walk or whatever, an LSA or an ultralight, then he can charge anything for the meal. Okay?
Like somebody's got a trike over there, and put it on the back of the trailer and go down and get 3 minutes.
That's a good deal, man.
Where is it?
Georgetown. Put on a pretty good show last year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and that was supposed to go.
It's on there.
Yeah, December 8th.
Yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, we were all three there last year, weren't we?
No, it wasn't me because.
Yeah, that's right.
So last year I was going on a cruise and I'm leaving on
8th
for another cruise.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We're leaving the day after Christmas.
What?
We're going to leave the day after Christmas. Oh, but mm-hmm. Well, this guy, Gene Baker, that does the barbecue, the guy used to own some big rig barbecue place. And I guarantee you, he knows how to cook barbecue. And he not only knows how to cook it, he knows how to present it. He had, just for those that didn't go last year, he took a pig and he took out all the meat out of it, right? And cooked the meat like you would normally do. But then he put the meat back in the pig, okay? And had that presented with pineapples and various things. I mean, it was just unbelievable the way it looked. And the way it tasted 10 times better than it looked. It was good. Very good. Plus, they give all the desserts. They make pies and cakes and all kinds of stuff. And their drinks. And it's all you want to eat for $6. I mean, there's no way he's making a cent on this deal. No way. No way. I mean, it's got to be costing him twice that to put this off.
Yeah. Gene also
runs
paper
class. Does he?
Yeah.
He's a super guy. For anybody who don't know him, we went to Center Fund last year. I didn't go this year, but last year, and we met up with John Matthews and Gene Baker. And every time I see Gene, he's cooking, right? So this night they were cooking there in their camp area. We all camped on the ground at Center Fund. And anyhow. We went over there and he was cooking fish, I believe. You
yeah,
were cooking,
the fish stew was unbelievable.
I mean, the guy just.
Marsha was good.
He's a good cook. I mean, so.
Let's see the garden and the dance, bro.
Yeah.
His dad's in the food, too.
And plus, he's a super guy. I mean, some people here seem to be having a little bit of issue with John Matthews, and that's fine. You know, John's a different sort of fellow. But Gene is he's the most likable guy I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen a single person dislike Gene Baker. He's just a jolly, happy, lucky guy. And I think last year, if I remember right, it was around 11, 12 o'clock, somewhere in that range. It was, especially if y'all live down so close. I highly suggest, or anybody you know too, because you ain't going to get a better meal than that, you know, for $6, I mean, and be so close. Plus, I anticipate there's going to be a lot of airplanes, you know, hopefully. I wish I had mine together, I'd take it, but somebody I know ought to put theirs on the back of the trailer and take it.
Well, John just finished, I think he's put together and certified his last X-Air.
Yeah.
High wing.
Yeah. He's got a bunch.
He's becoming a collector more than he is a stuff.
Well, for y'all guys that don't know, John has cancer. And he has cancer surgery scheduled, I think, for the end of December or the first part of January. And so John is really, really trying to move them airplanes. And I'm not trying to sell for him. But what I'm trying to tell you is if you're in the market for an X-Air or if you know somebody it is, he probably will make you one hell of a deal.
Last year's price.
Okay? I mean, the exchange rate, you know, because those are not made here in this country. You know, they're made in...
I have a couple of those.
But he's already got these things registered. They're already in the... Okay. The only thing he's got to do is you got to put an engine on them. I mean, he won't do that. He put engines on them, and then he took them off. I mean, he did that for liability reasons. He's going to make you do an ELSA. You know, you got to put the engine on them. He's doing it on purpose. Because that gives you a better deal, because you can put any engine on it you want, whether that be a 582 or a Jabiroo or a Rotax or whatever, you know, 912, whatever.
I'm going to ask how you guys knew that with the LSA.
We both passed. Hey, if you took that course, I want to tell you what. That was a pretty good achievement. That was a tough course. You got to understand, he's been in it longer than me, but I worked in an Air Force, and I'm cocky and thinking, well, you know, I can fix an airplane. I did it for years, right? I'm going to tell you what. There's a bunch of stuff you learn.
A lot of material. I would not believe it would have been anywhere near as much material as we covered.
I called him the five-minute dude, because every 2 to 3 hours you got a 5-minute pee break.
On the first day, Greg. Second day, what we got, one?
Well, you get a card, like a little thing from the Department of Commerce?
Well, what you do is you get a certificate. And this is good for you to fix your airplane only. So when you get an airplane, buy an airplane, make an airplane, whatever, ELSA now, not FLSA, ELSA, okay? But then you can use that certificate. You have to go to the FAA's regional office. Ours is in Columbia, okay? You have to go there, and then they give you a card, okay? And you have a certificate just like a A&P would have, but on that it says that you're authorized to work on that tail number only.
Right.
You see? Yeah. And, which is fine. That's what you want. Because you're authorized to inspect that. See, this course was an inspection course, not a maintenance course. Okay? Anybody can maintain the ELSA. How many times do you reckon he said that? Maybe,
oh, gosh, I don't know.
50 times or 100 times?
Check out?
No. I can only check an airplane that I own. Now, if you want to sell me your airplane, I can inspect it. I'm going to sell it back to you. I don't know how illegal that would be, but
I don't think it'd be worth it.
because when you get your card, you've got an N number on it, and that N number is for your airplane. Now, if you sell your airplane, you can go back, and for the N number that you bought, if it's an ELSA, you can get a card with that N number on it, and you can do that one then because you own it. But you have to go back and change it every time you get a different N number.
So explain this to me. I built my own engine from scratch, so much of the aircraft. put it together. It checks out. It's black. That's the end number net. I can't maintain it.
Now, wait a minute. This is ELSA. Sounds like you might be talking about experiment.
Your airplane
is... ELSA is experimental.
No, it's not, that's experimental ELSA, but it's not experimental. Okay, there's experimental category that has always been.
Okay.
Okay, that doesn't meet the LSA standards. So we're only talking about LSA. LSA being less than 120 knots airspeed. Okay, well, as long as it's LSA, okay, ELSA, then that course allows you to inspect it yourself.
We'll stop one more time here before we go too far. There's one problem that you got. January 31st.
Well, that's only for fat,
though. I was told that.
January 31st. You cannot ever get that airplane that you're building certified as an ELSA. Never.
Well, what would it be certified
as? An experimental.
Yeah.
You're right.
Can you maintain your own experimental, or do you have to have it?
Yeah, if you built it, you can maintain it. Yeah. You will not be able to inspect it unless you go to the proper classes.
Well, you can experimental like my Europa. I am licensed to do anything and everything and sign it up as a IA.
Sign it off?
I can do all
that.
The manual? I can sign it, yeah.
You might want to check on the IA part, though. I'm thinking that.
Sure.
I'm thinking that you got to have the ASP.
And you were signing it off last year when I remember.
But anyhow.
ELSA, you cannot sign off unless you've been to this class.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you got to have a medical certificate to fly that thing. That would be the only difference.
Right.
You couldn't do it with a light sport pilot license.
Well, right. Now you're up again, anyhow.
Right. Retractable landing gear, right.
And see, you're in that same boat, because yours is going to have to be a real airplane, you know, regular airplane.
Somewhere, I've got a regular.
Unless you can finish it by January 31st. You can have an ELSA. He's right. You can have an ELSA, but it has to be one that's certified. In other words, you had to buy it. You know what I mean? Yours is not obviously going to be certified. You built it all.
There's no chance they're going to change that rule?
That seems all right. Everybody says there's no chance. It ain't happening.
Just like the ultralight thing, even though they went through this, if I said it was going to change and it was going to eliminate the ultralight version of it, ultralight has not changed any at all. Not even a little bit.
So what's the requirement for me flying that aircraft? If it's just considered experimental, and yet if it really does fall in life support category or its performance parameters, you better have a... What? Do I have medical?
You got to have
medical. You got to have
medical.
I'm not sure about that, because I asked the question, and I keep wondering on it at the class. Because they were trying to get through all the material. But I did ask about that, and because I was under the impression that if it was licensed experimental, no matter what it weighed or speed of it, even if it fell in the category, you couldn't buy it with an ELSA license.
You didn't have permission to fly it.
But according to our instructor, that if the plane falls within the category, even though it's licensed experimental, it can still be flown with an ELSA license.
But he was also talking about Europas and normal airplanes built by manufacturers that
yes,
met the category.
That
he was not talking about somebody who built their own.
Not experimental planes that you built.
But you got to understand the context of what we're talking about, too, because he kept saying over and over and over, this is an ELSA class, and we're not going to discuss anything outside of that. This is strictly, you know, so every time somebody would try to ask a little bit of question like you're talking about, he would just short answer it and move on.
Because every time I talk to somebody different, I get a different story. So I think what I'm going to have to do is make direct contact with
the client. Well, no, if you go to the other website.
Not all aircraft currently under construction are going to make a January deadline.
Yeah, are you a member of the AFEA?
No.
Okay, well, I can do the research for you and everything. AOPA's got the most extensive policy.
It's always like, there's always some kind of conflict.
There's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah. But you got to go right to the horse's mouth to get the information, and that's going to be either EAA or AOPA. Now, you can go to the FAA's website, but you're going to get a bunch of junk old stuff that you can't understand. So the primary task of AOPA and EAA, as far as I'm concerned, is to interpret the rules for us. So go to one of them two sites. AOPA has the most extensive website on aviation that I've ever seen in my life. Anything you ever want to know about medicals or any other thing, or drugs, drug interactions, anything you could ever imagine about flying is on the AOPA website. Okay, so you know I can check that for you if you don't have the access.
Yeah, there is going to be aircraft coming out in the future, and our instructor during the class said that he thought there was one airplane company that has taken the time and did the necessary paperwork to get their airplane kit plane certified as on the ULSA. If they sell it as a kit and you build it, one airplane, that's worldwide, that comes to the United States.
That's a kit.
It's a kit. But to get it certified so you can, after January, to get it certified, it's going to have to be one of that particular airplane or one that somebody else has. Starts doing the work and gets the paperwork done on, and it'll be a factory. But as far as one that you build yourself, after January, you cannot get it certified ever as an ELSA. Never. So, but then your airplane's going to be in the category, even though you have to license it as an experimental, if it still meets all the parameters of an ELSA. Even though you can't call it that.
So they're playing with words.
Right.
It's just exactly the old saying, from the very beginning, you've got to be able to build it again.
Right. That's what yours is going to be able to build, and not.
And one at a time. Just using up the plane. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure on the term that they do this, that if yours would be legal, because it is a. It's not a kit build airplane, it's never, the paperwork's never been done on it. If the ELSA pilot can actually fly it legally.
Well, like I say, that's a permission thing, too, and I'm not advocating going against the rule of the game. It's the same thing with CDL. I drove CDL for 20 years, track trailers, and become a CDL. I said, I don't need your permission to drive one. Well, yes, you did. You can't drive one. If it can change my skills at all, it can change the rules. And the cops down here laughing at it, because if you're right, it doesn't make the person skilled at the being able to do what he does.
Well, I heard that the first driver's license were passed out. You just went down and got them. You didn't have to take the test.
I didn't have to do that. Well, I heard through the mail.
Through the mail?
You sent an application. Well, I got a lot.
We were in another country. Every state's its own country. But I'm not advocating that, but I'm just saying it's amazing how they're doing this to everybody.
This ELSA thing was basically to get the illegal air flights. They were wanting to get rid of that. People out there flying two-seaters and taking people up. That plane that wasn't certified or controlled in almost any kind of manner. That's what they were wanting to eliminate.
Originally it was 1,100 and some pounds. Yeah. The word was that it was going to be 1,100 and some.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the final rule comes out and it's 1,320. They had to have some cutoff. I wish it had been 2,000 or something myself.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know,
my point. 1,300 would have brought in the 172s and the 150s and 152s and stuff like that. Which
would have more people flying, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, George is building the same airplane I'm building. Set them side by side, you can't tell them apart. His can never be any LSA. But mine will be. Just because of the completion date.
So you got to have yours completed prior to January?
And it should be.
And kind of working around it a little bit, but it's going to be minimally ready to fly. And that's what it's got to be. There'll be a lot of stuff that's not on the airplane. It won't have brakes.
Does that have to be checked by a VAR?
Yes. Well, we've got to talk to him and find out exactly what he would require to have to be on the airplane. And believe it or not, it's got to have one instrument. An airspeed indicator. That's it.
Our instructor said it had to have none.
Yeah.
But this DAR that we're using says it had
to. It says it had to have an airspeed indicator because you have to be able to demonstrate its flight envelope of speeds. And even though they don't require you to do it at the inspection, you have to be able to do it. And so our airspeed indicator's got to be there to do it with. So that's the reason it's got to be there.
Does it have to actually be flown?
No. He said he wouldn't even require the engine to be run. But it has to be ready to go. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to start the engine and take off if it's not in that kind of shape.
John Matthews has used this same guy for all of his X-Airs. And I asked John about how tough he was. And he says he's sort of funny. He says he's strict on some things, but then on other things he passes things I wouldn't pass. That's what he told me. You know, so.
And there's certain things that, you know, that they would not recommend, like a Mini Max. They want you to rip stitch the wings, but the designer of the aircraft says no, so they can't override the designer of the aircraft.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be rip stitched. Of course, it will be.
Yeah.
I'm not flying without it, but.
So you got a month to go.
We're leaving for a cruise the day after Christmas.
But it's got to be done before that, huh?
Yeah. I can't wait till after Christmas. I mean, after that cruise, and say, okay, now I've got a week or two to get a dollar over here tonight. That ain't gonna happen. But he did say that if he had to come down here on Wednesday afternoon to do it, he would get it done. So. Now, point up. I just need to get my registration back, which should be back this week, and put the thing together. We're actually going to cover the last piece of the airplane after the meeting, which is the aileron that's laying on the table. It's already started. I'm going to finish covering that, and then it's ready up. We've got to put one coat of polybrush on it to seal the fabric because it won't fly without it, so it's got to be done. And then we're going to Dennis's to do a weight and balance. If anybody wants to hang around and watch us do that, and go to Dennis's and do a weight and balance on his aircraft.
So you going to get yours done the same time?
His is staying in an ultralight.
I'm going to stay in ultralight. I don't like all the bureaucracy and paperwork. It just makes it as one, kind of.
Yeah. And the instructor said when the paperwork equaled the weight of the aircraft, it should be certified.
I got something that might has nothing to do with this, but you might find interesting. The other day I was down working on my airplane, and a guy talking to me and started talking to me, and he said, "Who owns that airplane sitting over there?" I said, "I have no idea. It's just relatively new on the lot." He said, "Did you see the piece of metal sticking out of the side of it?" "What are you talking about?" He said, "Come here." I walked over, and it's a Piper, like a bigger chair, if you got a one. Right in the side, halfway between the wing and the tail, there's a piece of steel sticking right inside the airplane. And you probably know what it is. It's about that big, and it's got a U-shut. It's a shim. It looks like a shim that they might use on metal buildings or something. The reason I'm familiar with it is when 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, when the window got broken in my airplane,
mm-hmm.
It was broken with the same thing, just like that. So they must ride down the street, on the road, playing it like these guys that have the stars and stuff, the karate guys, you know, and stuff right inside the plane, just like that. And I looked up the end number, and it belonged to a Lloyd Davies. So I typed Lloyd Davies in the white pages, and there's like 30 of them in the country, but one of them is at Sunset Beach. So I called that number, and that's a white, and I said, you told who I was, and I said, look, this airplane down at the airport does not belong to your family. Well, sort of. Yeah, but my husband's not here. I make a long story short, my husband's up in New England. So she had him call me, and he said, it's not my plane anymore. I said, it's registered in your name. Well, he sold it to his partner, who was in Belize. I said, well, you got a piece of steel sticking out of the side of the airplane, and I just want to make sure that you know about it, because you might not see it, but I don't have any pictures. But that's a federal offense, that's an airplane like that. But what happened is it's exactly the same stuff that, in fact, I've got it on somewhere. That was in my plane, and it's fucking ridiculous. Remember,
I had a replace
back
in the
day? Yeah.
I was not
parked up at Rock. Well, I'm not parked anymore. I used to, but it won't be anymore.
They reach out with a baseball bat and take a tail
walk. Yeah, yeah, well, you know, my brother got all bent down there one time, too.
They would put a fence up on there.
Yeah. They should put stuff up.
Cement 10 feet tall.
But anyhow, it's somebody's got access to those things, and everybody says it's a piece of shim that they use for lifting up. Stuff
is
building.
And
I think about it, if I find
it,
it's
going to
be
like
that. But anyhow,
insurance.
I make a motion
that
we pay it.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
I'll give it to you, let you.
Yeah.
Okay. You get the money?
Done.
About the course, too. Final thing about that, if you go to my personal website, you will find, if you scroll down, you will find that there's several aviation links. I have set it up to where you can download, you can click on these links and then download all the documentation that we used in that course. The manuals, the FAA, you can find all this stuff on your own. But what I've done is compiled it all into one place so you can just click right there and get it, download it, print it.
And what it is with that, trust me, it's a pain in the butt.
If you try to find it on your own, you're going to do like I did. It took me a week to compile all that information. Then I put it in one place where you can get it easy. Okay? There is, for anybody that's a mechanic, okay, you really need to get a publication. It's AC43.13-1B. It's a long name. Go to my website. Okay? I'll give you the URL later, but go to the website, there's a link to it. This publication printed on both sides with a duplex printer is about 3 or 4 inches. But it is the Bible on maintaining airplanes, building airplanes. It's awesome, okay? If you've never looked at it, you ought to at least go to the website and just look. You don't have to print it, you can look. But if you work on airplanes a lot, you might really want to print a copy. We probably ought to have a copy out here because I mean, I think it's a great, great publication. It does things, for instance, like it tells you, it shows you what different kinds of rivets they are and how to identify them. It shows you pictures of them. It tells you what the torque would be, a standard torque on a certain nut or bolt. It tells you how to, shows you graphically how to safety wire properly on all different kinds of situations. Okay?
It shows you how to
rivet. It probably does, yeah.
Aircraft maintenance, and I've got that book. I don't know if Tom gave it to me, or I think you did, didn't you? Because I was looking at it last night, as a matter of fact, trying to figure out how to rib stitch.
Now, that is the kind of book that would disappear.
It even gives you the layout.
Yes. Everything. It is an awesome, awesome thing. But now, you can buy it. ASA has it, and probably other people have it. I don't know what the cost is on the book. But
it probably wouldn't be more than $20 or $25 for the book.
Yeah, but it, you know,
because I bought the wrong one, which was 800. This one's 600 pages. The one I bought was 800 pages, which was the wrong book, and I paid like $25 for it. So,
yeah. But anyhow, if you got a laser printer that prints on both sides, duplexing it's called, then you could print it for almost nothing. Okay, but if you and it cost you probably under $1 to print it. Okay? But if you don't have that ability, don't print this on the inkjet. You'll be buying you an inkjet printer. This deer thing will choke a horse. Okay? It's big.
It's that thick.
When I printed it out on both sides,
it's
about that thick. I got it in a huge three-ring binder, and I printed duplex. Well, you could at least go and look at it, see if that's what you want. There's a whole bunch of other stuff, too. It's not just that book. Okay? There's all kinds of things. Probably the information you're looking for is in there. Not in that manual, but in the other links that's on there. Okay? That's all I got.
Nobody has mentioned that, have you? We talked about that. Thursday night we talked about that a little bit. Last year we got together here and had a dinner here. But that's up to the members and what you want to do. We can do it.
Last year again, it was when I was on
fire. Yeah.
Hey Tom, what's traditional? Do we have a meeting on December usually? Do you remember?
The last one.
Usually you get together, some
people
have a meeting. Now, did we have one here last year? I don't know.
Last year we had a dinner here. It's easier to organize if we have it here, to get everybody to a central location at a certain restaurant at the right time, and a little bit tougher, but it can be done. We've done it before.
Yeah, see, the only problem with that is that, you know, people got to cook and clean plates and serve and, you know, I mean, you're great for the people that are that's not cooking and not doing the work. But
I said, why in the other day, I heard one of the women up front, I don't know, my wife, and I think it's Shirley, and I don't know if it's or not, but they were sort of leaning and suggesting that we all go to a restaurant. I always liked the one we had it with.
What I was,
the women usually do the cooking and the cleaning.
Well,
not always, but
that much here. In fact, I had a lot of potato salad the other day. Which is why I got more than Weight Watchers. The only person I Weight Watchers that gave food.
Evidently, the beans were wonderful because I have not seen any leftover beans.
Yeah, everything was good. Food was great.
Thank you. Real good.
Bill, you did well. Small fruit.
And then follow that?
That cooker out there was a real experience. You know, first time on that deal.
Yeah, I helped him a lot on that one.
Yeah, we were.
Well, it worked out good.
We're lucky the fire department didn't go.
Yeah, I kind of dropped the ball. I volunteered to do this and or help do it, and I didn't show up.
Oh, yeah, well, we talked about you all day.
You talked about me, too. I didn't make it
either.
Oh, yeah. They forgot you were supposed to show up. They know you always come late.
I'll make it. Shirley got here and tried to help me clean up there, but I said, well, you know, they did get here and help me clean up.
I must say, those two fellas right there are the mellowest people I've met in my life. Couldn't get them all the
world. So what's the consensus for Dungeon? For Christmas, then? Let's have it.
Are you going on a boat ride?
I'm going on a boat ride on the 8th. That's the 8th.
You'll be back on the 15th?
I think that's one, dude.
What's the calendar?
I'll call Norwegian, see if they can go to
I'm sure they'll do that.
Need a helicopter to pick you up.
Just delay it and do it as a New Year's slam Christmas.
That's the holidays.
Yeah, that's for everybody.
That's right. That's the nature of the holidays. Everybody's coming and going.
What's this Saturday before the
8th?
That's the 8th, March 10th. No,
the Saturday before that. What? The 1st, the 8th, the 21st, 22nd. Yeah.
Well, I'm out on the 8th because I'll be out of town, and I'm going to see if we're going to New England for 2 weeks.
What about the 1st? Tom?
First.
Tom?
Yeah.
What about the 1st?
How about the 1st? First of July.
Okay. Anybody here can't be here on the 1st?
I'm going to try to do this.
Where are we going to have it?
Well, choices are either here and catered, or at a restaurant.
Not Myrtle Beach.
I suggest the restaurant.
Yeah. I do too, quite honestly, because that way the women, not to be chauvinistic, traditionally the women usually do all the cooking. They don't have to do it. I mean, it gives them a break too.
We went to over it.
Thorns is closed.
Yeah, but it won't be crowded then.
Well, we're going to have to cook.
Well, there is a couple, there's two or three new restaurants out at 501 on the other side of Conway. You know, the exiting side of Conway.
I'm thinking one that's got.
Fats is one.
They don't have a meeting room. You think one of the smaller restaurants
would be better for that?
Fats, Applebee's.
The majority. You know, I mean,
it don't matter to me.
I mean, they have to buy it.
Florida got a room.
You have to travel to Florida, and you have to
know where we're going to eat.
So if we had it down toward Myrtle Beach somewhere or North Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
And they got terrible food in college.
Didn't y'all go one time to the one up there in
some people hate it, some people like it. That's what you're going to have anywhere you go.
Yeah.
River. What's that?
Ryan's. They've got those two big rooms for free in the back.
That bothered me at all.
You can get a room for free easily there.
I inquired.
This Conway?
Yeah. Conway, or they got one in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, they got one.
They got a Ryan's and not Myrtle Beach, too.
Yes.
And that would be. That's pretty well central for everybody in Myrtle Beach.
And, I mean, it's not fancy or anything, but they've got a lot of different stuff.
We wouldn't have to make previous arrangements with them either. We could all.
Well, you wouldn't, but if you did, you could get that. Could not Myrtle Beach have the closed-in rooms where you can have birthday parties and stuff? Yeah. I know all the others do.
Go to Crescent Rose, is
that? Yeah. Just before you get to the Grand Strand entrance.
Yeah.
Well, the next question is, which Ryan's? I mean, there's.
Not
three that I know of.
North Myrtle Beach, right?
Unless there's one in Little River, and there isn't.
No, there's none in Little River.
No, but there's one on the south end if we're trying to cater to anybody down on that end.
True.
There's one,
you know.
Bill likes to drive, though.
Search drive.
He's got a station wagon. He can pick everybody on the line.
Probably the one in North Myrtle Beach would be more central for.
Well, except look, he's trying to cover Pauly's Island. That's what I'm thinking. Pauly's Island is.
Well, your trip's coming a long ways, too, so.
Yeah, that'd be sort of the middle, right? Where you live, Jim?
Ocean Isle.
Well, Myrtle Beach, Ryan, seems to be the best. Everybody talks about their food's better than the rest of them, so. And that is kind of.
The one in North Myrtle Beach has a function room. It's an open day for everything.
Right.
So that kind of eliminates.
Would be better if we had a separate room, you know.
Yeah, it would be better.
That way everybody could be in a room to themselves and instead of scattered over a bunch of different tables.
Did someone say it's closed?
Yes, it's closed.
The one at the beach is still open, I think, but the one in Conway folded.
There is a seafood restaurant in Conway, Captain's Table, but that's further away. They don't have a separate room either.
Right. Still real?
No, it's in Conway. It's called the Captain's Table, right there on 501. But that still wouldn't be a central location. But it would be uniformly out of the way for everybody.
Maybe take your furthest points, draw a compass, and
line.
Okay, somewhere in Murphy.
Y'all
come to Polly's Island.
That'd be real close for me.
Well, that's an alternative, but.
Good call. Thank you.
But consider that one. Consider a joint meeting and bring your own steak fry for, say, January.
I gotta do the Ryan thing. That's my opinion.
Fortunately, we've all had spouses that are very supportive of
us.
And it was very evident this last line.
Yeah.
The gal finally stepped up to the plate.
Not really good. She's never
going to our willingness to play.
Yep.
And outstanding. And
I think we can afford to take them out to
eat.
Exactly. Either with that.
I think if we go to Ryan's, it's in North Myrtle Beach.
That's Myrtle Beach somewhere.
Is that okay with you two? Because you got a long ways to go.
I think that maybe we might ought to have, if Dwayne would do it, have somebody look and see which one would have the function there.
Well, we really need to make a decision now because we got 2 weeks to do it, and to be able to get a hold of everybody that's in this room, we still got to get a hold of the general membership.
Right.
I think that if we showed up at Ryan's, we could probably get an area all to ourselves because there's usually that many tables available.
I'd feel better if we had it prearranged, huh?
Well, we could try that. But go with the premonition that if nothing else, we just sat down together.
Yeah, that's
there.
That's the clue.
Where is the Ryan's?
In Myrtle Beach, or down there by the Palmetto Government, down by Walmart. They're south of
5
on 17 bypass.
That's behind Walmart,
sir.
Well,
further north of Myrtle Beach?
There's not one here.
No, that's just the one.
Yeah.
That's Surfside.
Okay. Well, some people call that Surfside, but really, to me, Surfside goes on the beach.
Took that over as their own.
This is on the bypass side.
Or 544 comes out?
Yeah,
there's
Walmart. It's right behind Walmart.
They're right on the bypass.
Last time I was there, they just put 17 bypasses in.
They're south of 544 on the bypass on the ocean side. When you go south of 544, you can go to that light, turn left, and go back in, and they're on the left. They're on that service road that goes in around Walmart. But they are a nice, clean restaurant, and people have always spoke well of it, that I know of. And I'm almost positive they have I can try to get the room available.
Just
find
all meats there. If you get the room, we got the room.
That's it. But we have a decision of where to go, and then we could get a hold of all the people around here and maybe get them all together.
If you got a room, you got one. If you do,
right. That's the best we can do at this point, I think.
Okay.
Now, what
time?
All right. We need a time.
It should be
6:00. I'm starting. 6:00.
Sir, it's 6:00. I say 5.
5:00.
5:00 Saturday, December 1st.
5 sounds good.
Well, y'all tell me to start at 4:30,
right?
4. 4:00, December 1st. 5:00. That's Ryan.
I'm good.
5:44.
Ryan's on 544.
Okay.
They can't find that Walmart. That's one of the most busy Walmarts on the planet right here.
Huh? I don't know if it's
Lowe's
down here or not. I don't know that area.
Yeah, Lowe's is right
across the street from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before you get to Wicked Stick.
Yeah. Wicked Stick.
Don't they call that? Yeah.
The Wicked Stick.
Yeah, it's just... Right, that's the one behind Sherry and Gary's place of work. That's right.
Are we talking about 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
The first?
Yep. First.
Okay, how many people do we need to seat for?
Well, is everybody here going?
Yeah.
How you got to get in touch with some of our members
that
are here?
Well, you know, Jack, for instance.
Well, I'll call Jack.
You'll call him?
I'll call him back up.
Tell him I ain't sending no more postcards because I sent him one this time and he didn't show up.
Yeah.
That's well, 85 cents out of my pocket. Tell him he does 41 cents. I'll pay for that.
The last time I come up to him, he was on the way back to the hospital.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, don't give him a hard time.
Don't leave my email.
I am not emailing.
Don't leave my
email.
I even said to my wife last night on the way home, make sure I call Jack tonight. She don't remember nothing.
And someone should call him Russell if he can't come. No,
okay, Tom will take care
of that. Oh,
that's the two hard ones.
Yeah.
Who's missing that?
Bob and Shirley?
Taking over.
Yeah. Bud and Shirley.
Bud
and Shirley and Chuck.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's got a list of everybody?
Yes, I got a list.
That's members. Everyone's late members no more. Just go on the book.
Right.
Probably
about 20. Yeah, I think it 18 to 25 people will take it. Right. That's what I'll try to get it. I think you got to have at least 18 to get that room. I'm not certain. Whatever it is, I'll tell them that.
That's how many we got.
Yeah. I'll eat two meals or something like that.
I'm counting at least 19 off of here with the wine.
Right.
So I'd say at least like
20. Yeah.
Maybe 20 with 25.
That's what I do.
Well, I'll get the list.
I'll call it.
I'll make sure Sherry and I will go to Ryan's because they deal with that all the time. So if it's possible, we can get a grant for that.
Okay. Well, that's early, so there shouldn't be a problem.
That's what I was thinking. It's early enough, we've got a good chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of getting a room.
Yeah.
Early on the day.
Later on December, you wouldn't.
Later on the evening, you wouldn't either, too. Because around 6 o'clock, that place gets filled up.
Well, I'm kind of food.
You can get a steak
cook, or you can, I mean, you can order, or you can go to the buffet and just...
They usually have a roast or cousin.
I got tacos with kids, so my daughter will come.
If you know anybody that's been a member that doesn't go on the books anymore, you want to call and invite, I would say do it. They might not come or they may not care anything about us anymore or EEA at all. But I'll call everybody on the list, but I'll do that.
All right. Remember that. Second part.
She's going to work at 4 p.m. 4 p.m., doesn't it? Georgia Sheldon, the morning we started eating with, so that. Not more.
Oh,
it does. He's not there. He's going
to let the
cat out
the bed. He came in there with his fork and knife. Wow,
I have one thing. I don't have to eat so much stuff today. Maybe an offer of things about it. Some kind of enticement for younger people or something to see if you can get somebody
that you think
can
get
into
this ADA.
What's better
than mine? What's better than mine?
I don't know. I just say we usually more to my mind is better.
Yeah, I don't know
how we can entice somebody
in the
younger age.
It's kind of hard to get somebody to do something that they're not already interested in, and if they are interested,
and they're already looking for us. I think what makes young people interested in it is seeing the airplanes.
Yeah. And to get a kid to come out here and sit through what we just did,
they're not going to want to do it.
They will never come back.
What they need is they need the airplanes. That's why this place right here has always had a problem. It's always going to have a problem. This physical place, because we can't have airplanes here, basically.
Well, that's not really here. We got one sitting in Southport. We're sitting in the middle of our airport. You can't get anyone to go to it. In fact, it's already closed down.
Yeah.
And people.
Yeah, that might have different.
I mean, you said right in the middle of an airport, though.
Yeah. But I know.
Well, you can't get anyone to go to it.
Young people are not going to be interested in sitting through meetings. They're going to be interested in doing something.
Well, building something, making something, flying something. My son loved airplanes, and he's got airplanes hanging all over his ceiling, and he's got every kind of book about airplanes and all kinds of models. We flew radio-controlled models together. You can't drag him out here. Now, my ass.
Remember. Hey.
Hey.
Interrupt.
Come on in.
There was a DA meeting here somewhere.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm late, but
just for answering that.
What's your name, sir?
Jerry Nance.
That's the one you just talked about, right?
George, you're going to have to come later. You're just going to have to come later. George is always the late one.
I took my clubs. In the chair, I couldn't find him. It's the truth. I've been driving around.
It's kind of hard to find.
You weren't listening to the airplane engine, by the way.
I was. You'd have never found us if you were waiting for an airplane.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
We just kind of...
I tried to.
Hey, go on, get tired of your
bed. That's right. Now, I've been flying a good many years. I used to be a member of EA in Bladenboro, 718, but I moved to Myrtle Beach and kind of got out of it, so... I saw you on the internet. You had a meeting today, and I thought I'm gonna try to get to that. So I almost made it.
I've
flown in here before. It's been some years ago.
Well, you
should have
been here 2 weeks ago. We had a barbecue. Yeah, we had a barbecue here.
Is that right? They're supposed to have one in Bladenboro today. I'm making my way up to that.
You'll be late for that too.
Well, that's a good call. It's good fun. Seven two.
Well, we're just sitting here kicking around some ideas, and we were just talking about a Christmas party that this kind of we're just going to get together and have a dinner. We decided on Ryan's. If you'd like to come to that, you're more than welcome.
Ryan's?
Yes.
Where is that?
Surfside.
Oh, okay.
Behind the Walmart in Surfside.
Oh, great.
So
we'll be here December the 1st at 5 o'clock.
Saturday, okay.
My wife lets me go. She won't come with me, but she...
Temperance.
You have to associate with
her. No, sir, she ain't coming either. Don't take it personal. She hates me. She don't know you.
She's
joining the life. Yeah. My wife will do anything I volunteer to do. I mean, like, she's never been here. She probably, we did drive back here one day by accident. We were out riding around and came in from the back way somehow. And I said, let's bring some airport. She said, I don't see an airport. There's a tree, you know, you can't see much. But, that's the closest she's ever been, and I volunteered her to cook the baked beans for the fly-in. She cooked them. She wouldn't deliver them. even though I wasn't going to be here. I had to come out here the night before and bring them.
Well, whatever.
Those trees coming in from...
Aren't they pretty? Aren't they beautiful today? Tom and I were looking them all the way up here, but these are really...
Yes.
No way could you get them in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
She's flown commercial.
Yeah.
You know.
Ruthie was... She has flown with me, and if I insist, she would... But she would rather stay out of the airplane.
Yeah.
She just doesn't like airplanes.
Jean said she just had to be higher than the airplane before she got on the one. Which is not a bad thing. You know, I can ride my R all I want to, and she won't get on the back of that either. I don't have to go home. I can look at anything I want to, and nobody's slapping me. She's been in it one time. You know, you got to play with it. That's what it's for, is to play with it. And I spun the wheels and turned it sideways and written. She didn't get back in there either.
So, anyhow, that's it. We're going to be here Saturday, December 1st. Will there be a meeting? We won't have a meeting. December meeting will just...
That'll be it. That'll
have
one.
Unofficial, that's it.
We're also out here almost every Saturday. Working on a project. So any Saturday you'd like to come out, hang out, or help out, or if you have something you want to work on, that's what this is for.
In the website,
aren't you talking
about a stencil? Is there a stencil here?
Yes. Well, it's not here, but
are you?
Yeah. It's a basket case, pretty much. Pretty much everything's there. Just needs a lot of putting back together.
108.
Yes, 150 Franklin. Will I ever get around to rebuilding it? I don't know. We kind of voted on it for a project out here one time, and it kind of got voted down. I don't know why. I thought it was going to be a great project.
This is the main focus of Minimax.
It will be flying by January 31st.
It will be
December 31st.
Yeah,
it'll
be.
No,
December 31st.
Yeah,
it'll be.
No,
the deadline is
January 31st. Yeah, yeah. Deadline. So we really have 2 months. Just not that we want to push it. We're in the same boat.
Nothing's got to be done. That's what we're going to do, is wait and balance and get us
today. So we got to.
Has yours ever been flying?
Oh, yeah, I've flying. That plane's been flying since, well, for probably 6-7 years.
Well, is there any other new business that we need to cover, or something that somebody wants to start up other than... I hate to just move on about new members, but I really don't know anything we could do to add out new members.
I think... Just sit here just because I opened my mouth about it. You said it. Grandchildren. For those of us who are into aviation, we need to try to tweak our own family members. Let's hope we can get them. I'm working on my one grandson. He's never been off the ground. I had a difficult time just getting to sit in for him. Last year at the flying down to Georgetown for breakfast at John's thing. Finally got him to sit in the front of the Yankee. Showed him what the controls can do and everything. And he's finally starting to show. Well, if you'll go up with me, maybe I'll go for a ride. So, I mean, it's a bit slow process, but I think trying to show our enthusiasm to our grandkids and things like that to see if it keeps their spark coming in. Otherwise,
yeah,
we're struggling.
Well, I think that's a problem that EAA sees all over, because the focus of all their online e-alerts or e-messages, whatever they call it, that I get all the time, the focus here lately has been that they know they need to bring more young people into it, because all of us are getting older, you know, and we're sort of dying out. You know?
Pretty soon the permission game's going to not allow us to fly.
Yeah. So, anyhow, if you've looked at the EAA website lately in the last week or two, it's all changed. It's all more upbeat. It's totally different. you know, where you might like it or you might not, but you can see what their focus is going to be. It's more young, okay? And that's where it needs to go, you know?
So. Just make sure they don't bring you to suicide.
The maintenance course, they call it a maintenance course, but it's actually an inspection course. The certificate even says maintenance. But it's an inspection course. And he had 12 people show up to this one. And that's kind of a minimum.
Well, he told me that he had to have, because I called him up. Before I spent my money, I wanted to make sure that we were going to have his class. Yeah. So I said, what's the minimum? And he said, well, I got to have eight. Eight is my minimum to drive all the way to Jacksonville, Florida, up here. So that's a good point. Anybody can ask for this course. That's always, this is John Matthews' buddy, Steve something other. I forgot his last name. He's sitting right behind about you.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He just asked. He called this guy up and asked him to have a course. And the guy said, "Well, how many people can you find?" And Steve started calling around. And of course, he called me, and then I called Wayne, and then John Matthews knew some other people, and we had 12 people, and that was 12. Okay. So what I'm saying is, if we got 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly 5, or 6, there's almost enough right here to have it.
What
did you charge? Two more people? It's $3.99, but he discounts it 50 bucks for the EAA membership, so it's $3.49. Okay. Now I'm gonna tell you something. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's a lot of money to most of us. That's the best money I ever spent. That's a good course. That is a good course.
What was the course?
It's an ELSA inspection course. It's that 16-hour, they call it maintenance course. 16-hour maintenance course to allow you to do your own annual inspections on ELSA. And if you own an ELSA, you have to have this course. Otherwise, an AOP's got to do your annual inspection. And one annual inspection is going to be more than $350. So plus the hassle and dodge and having somebody else do it and all that. Very, very well worth it, as far as I'm concerned.
When?
Yeah. It was, they called it Paul's Island and had me all over the place, but it's really in Litchfield. And when you're going down towards Litchfield, it was in that, you know that big old resort area that's on the left that has all the beautiful
old John Resort?
That's it was in there. But that's where it was last time. It could be anywhere. It could be in any room. Matter of fact, Steve come and looked at my building and I got down coffee for it. And it's just got to meet their guidelines. It's got to have air conditioning. You know, it's got to be reasonable. It's got to have bathrooms. And, you know, it's just certain size and have power. Anyhow, that's what it has. This last time, but the next one, if we want to have another one, to do anywhere.
But if ELSA is a deadline of January 31st, then it's going to time itself out.
No, there's no, because we don't have ELSA.
LSA, you can do your own.
ELSA. But you can buy an ELSA to somebody else already has. See, the people that, here's the back up. There's LSAs, and then you take that down into two categories, special LSA and experimental LSAs. Now, what's happening is people that's making LSAs generally are also making ELSAs. And you say, well, what's the difference? The difference might be literally that you have to put your own seat cover on.
Right.
You know the 51% rule that you have for amateur building experimental? Well, they don't have that rule on LSAs. They have a 0.001% rule. It could be anything. For instance, a ELSA trike could mean that you have to put your own wing on.
Right.
Now it's an ELSA. Well, you have to put your wing on in yet.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? So the people that are making SLSAs, a lot of them are going to be making, and do make, ELSAs. So it's a choice that you have to make. With the ELSA, you can't fly it for commercial purposes. You know? So you might want an SLSA if you're going to use it for making money or something, But if you want to use it for just your own enjoyment, then you might want ESA, because then you can do all your own maintenance, you can do all your own inspections if you attend this course.
Right.
You see, on all these planes. And that don't have nothing to do with ultralight. The only thing with ultralight is January 31st, then that ends.
Okay.
That's just ultralight conversion fact. That's how that works. But anyhow, anybody wants to attend this course, all you got to do is call the guy up and ask him to have the course. It's really quite that simple. Within 3 weeks or so, he'll be up there teaching it. So.
After January 1st, a body that owns an ultralight cannot...
After January
31st.
You know, no, ultralight.
Fat ultralight. Well, it doesn't even have to be a fat ultralight.
Well, it has to be...
Well, yes, it does, because if it is an ultralight... A legal ultralight, I don't think you can transfer it over to an ELSA.
No,
you
cannot.
If it's a legal
ultralight, you don't need, it's like it always was, you don't need a license, you don't need nothing.
If it's 254 pounds or less, if it's 5 gallons of fuel or less, if it meets the speed criteria, and it's 65
miles. Okay, so it's a rare occasion.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a legal ultralight. It's perfectly legal. Put one more gallon of gasoline in it. It's no longer legal. It can be any ELSA.
Sports light
aircraft,
whatever,
If you have an ultralight that is outside of that, this is commonly called a fat ultralight. Okay, that's what everybody calls it, fat, which means it's too heavy, it's two places instead of one place, has too much fuel tank, it goes too fast, right, something like that. It's fat. Those are the ones that have till January 31st.
Okay.
I mean, two places are not really ultralight. People probably call them that, but they're not.
That's already just registered your existing ones. But if you go back and start building a new one, you can go into it, right?
No, that then becomes an amateur build experimental aircraft.
So it goes back to the original thing we originally was to start with.
Right.
But now, these companies that are starting to build the ELSAs that you can build yourself, like he said, you may not have to do anything but put a seat cover on it. And stick your end numbers on it to be say I built it.
Well, the people that designed the Minimax, just to put it, that company that designed it, I don't even know nothing about it. Let's say they're still in existence, they're still making them. Okay, if they decide to turn that into a ELSA kit, certified kit, right?
Yeah.
And they make the whole thing except for they make you put the tires on it. Right now that's an ELSA.
But I can't build one from their kit. I mean,
yes, from their kit. You know,
they have to do
paperwork first. They have to do it.
So my understanding, there's only one company, which our teacher at the class said he couldn't remember the name of the plane or the company actually, but he said he thought there was one that was legal that you could build. The company has done the paperwork basically. Nobody else has done it yet. They can do the paperwork once they get it. Through the FAA, and its paperwork's done, and they know what the plane is, then they can sell you the kit, you can put it together, and register it legally.
And they might make the kit such that it's all of it, just like you did it, the whole thing, or they might make it anywhere in the middle, where maybe you got to do the fuselage, but you don't do the red, or any combination. It's up to that company to decide.
As long as you did all their design drawings, it would qualify.
That's right. It'd be an ELSA. And then you could don't have to be nothing but a sport pilot, see?
Well, as long as it fits into criteria anyway, you still run, you have to build one to have with a sport pilot.
If it fits in the criteria,
fly.
And you can fly. I thought it would have to actually be registered, but it does not have to be. It can be an experimental airplane.
That's right.
But if it meets the criteria of an ELSA, you can just get in and fly with a sport pilot's license. Nothing has to be changed. Which I can't imagine they did that, but they did that.
Anyhow. So, anybody wants to start the course, contact John Matthews down there. When you go to that fly-in, talk to him. Because he knows the people that can set it up.
That's a short time?
Yep. December 8th.
And,
we're going to do it first.
No, you're going to tell me. I'm gone.
We're going December. We'll eat yours.
You won't be here?
No, I'll be here for Thursday.
There was a pretty good many planes down there last year for those that didn't attend, and it wasn't terribly cold like I thought it would be. It was about 70 or so.
I'll be driving right past there while you're driving in. I got to go right on by.
Yeah.
Because I got to go
Charles. Wait, because you
got Boston. Yeah, I'll go tomorrow.
Get out on the highway.
Yeah.
There's any other new business that might be covered, or anybody have a view to it? Alright, then,
Make a motion meeting be
adjourned. Second?
Yes.
Meeting over the show. You may record this.